Welcome to Base by Base, the papercast that brings genomics to you wherever you are. Thanks for listening, and don't forget to follow and rate us in your podcast app. Today, we are taking a deep dive into the extraordinary resilience of one of humanity's most persistent foes, Mycobacterium tuberculosis, or MTB. Our mission is to understand the molecular secret behind this pathogen's legendary ability to survive these lethal environmental and host stresses.
And you're tackling a truly global crisis here. I mean, MTB causes tuberculosis TB, and it's estimated that a quarter of the world's population harbors this bug.
A quarter? That's a staggering number.
It is. And what truly sets MTB apart is its persistence. It's a master of, well, camouflage and survival, capable of lingering dormant inside a person for decades, just waiting for its moment.
That persistence, that ability to withstand just about anything thrown at it, that's the core puzzle. So when we start hunting for MTB's secret weapon, where's the first place we should look? Because the solution the researchers found is, I mean, it's incredibly elegant, surprisingly minimalist.
You have to look right at the mechanism it uses to patch itself up after an injury. MTB, like any organism, is constantly facing challenges.
Right.
Things like lethal desiccation during aerosol transmission and intense oxidative stress, which is basically chemical warfare once it's inside a human macrophage.
And both of those situations cause catastrophic damage to its genome, specifically DNA double-strand breaks, or DSBs.
And DSBs are rapidly fatal if they're not fixed immediately.
So it's a constant race against time.
Exactly. To survive, MTB relies primarily on the non-homologous end joining pathway, or NHEJ. But what's so fascinating here is how streamlined MTB's system is compared to our own. It requires just two core proteins, Ku and LeGED.
Okay, this is where the structural curiosity really begins. Just remind us, the human NHEJ system is huge, right? It's this sprawling suite of specialized proteins, Ku7080, DNA PKCs, XLF, PSX. The list just goes on.
It's a massive complex.
So how can MTB possibly achieve the same critical high-stakes DNA repair with what looks like a molecular Swiss Army knife, just Ku and LeGED?
And that gap in understanding is precisely what this study addresses. It reveals that MTB Ku performs a critical self-assembly function that the human system, well, it needs a massive complex auxiliary enzyme to accomplish. MTB just found a way to do the heavy lifting all by itself.
So today we are dissecting the findings from the article, Oligomerization of Ku from Mycobacterium tuberculosis promotes DNA synapsis, which was led by Saima Zahid and colleagues and published in Nature Communications on November 26, 2025.
And it was a truly international and collaborative effort. It brought together expertise from the University of Leicester, University of Paris-Saclay, and Washington University School of Medicine. Their combined work really advanced our molecular understanding of this critical mycobacterial repair pathway.
And moved us closer to actionable therapeutic targets.
Absolutely.
But let's connect this to the clinical problem, to the urgency. Why is studying a tiny bacterial repair mechanism so important right now?
Because the global crisis of antimicrobial drug resistance in TB is just escalating rapidly. Mm. Current treatments are long, they're arduous, and they frequently fail because of resistance.
We're running out of options.
We are. If we can't find entirely new targets, we're facing a major public health disaster. And DNA repair inhibition is one of the most promising avenues. If you can cripple the bacteria's ability to survive stress, you can effectively defeat it.
Okay, so let's define the NHEJ pathway in this context. It's the primary system MTB uses to fix these DSBs. LeGED is the workhorse, the enzyme handling the actual cutting, filling, and pasting.
Right, it's the nuclease, polymerase, and ligase all in one.
So what's Ku's role in all this?
Ku is the initial responder. It's the protein that first detects and binds to the broken DNA ends. It acts as the crucial recruiter and stimulator for LeGED, telling it exactly where to go and when to start the repair.
But the structural picture was incomplete. We knew Ku recruited LeGED, but we didn't understand how they orchestrated the repair.
Exactly. I mean, before this research, we lacked a full high-resolution structural roadmap for the Ku protein from any bacterial species. We could see the parts and we knew the function, but the precise molecular choreography, how Ku grabbed two broken ends and held them together for LHD, that was a complete mystery. This is the structural gap this paper fills.
And functionally, the stakes are clearly high. Previous studies showed that while Ku and LHD might be, you know, dispensable for growth when things are easy in a lab dish.
Right, under ideal conditions.
They become absolutely essential for survival under the severe stresses that MTB faces during an actual infection. Desiccation, oxidative agents, all of it.
To test this in the lab, the researchers used Mycobacterium smegmatis as their model, and they ran functional assays to see what happens when you cripple Ku. They created what's called an unmarked Ku deletion mutant, the Ku strain.
And the initial data was striking.
It really was. It confirmed Ku's role as the survival master. So they exposed the strains to methyl methionine sulfonate, or MMS, which is a potent chemical that induces DNA double-strand breaks.
Mm-hmm.
After 6 hours, the wild-type strain showed a natural reduction in viable cells, about 1.75 log 10.
But the mutant, the one without Ku, was absolutely decimated.
Precisely. The Guku strain suffered a massive reduction, a 3.5 log 10 drop in colony-forming units.
Wow.
That represents orders of magnitude less survival capability. The difference in resilience is just staggering.
And what about the stress MTB faces during aerosol transmission? Desiccation, basically drying out. Did the Ku mutant fare any better there?
No, it was even worse.
Yeah.
The Goku mutant showed a nearly 4.6 log 10 reduction in viable cells under desiccation stress. So the functional data was unequivocal. Ku is not optional. It's fundamental to MTB's resilience.
That data proved Ku was essential for survival, but that just raised the crucial question. How is it doing this job with so few tools?
Exactly.
We needed to look inside, which is where the cutting-edge structural work came in.
This is where cryo-electron microscopy, or cryo-EM, became essential. By freezing molecules mid-action, they could map the structure at near atomic resolution. They managed to solve two critical structures. The Ku homotamer alone of Ku-MTB, and crucially, the DNA-bound Ku-MTB filament structure.
And that was solved to an impressive 2.96A resolution.
A fantastic resolution.
But they also needed to confirm that the protein wasn't just sitting still for the picture, but was actually assembling in solution. They used biophysical techniques like mass photometry and flow-induced dispersion analysis, or FIDA. What did FIDA tell them?
FIDA was absolutely key for proving the dynamics. It showed two distinct phases of DNA binding. First, there's a high-affinity binding phase, which is Ku initially grabbing the DNA ends.
Okay.
Then there's a second lower-affinity phase, where the protein continuously extended its hydrodynamic radius.
Which is the physical signature of continuous polymerization. It's literally showing the protein units stacking up to form a filament right there in solution.
Absolutely. And they confirmed this visually using atomic force microscopy, which showed these large fibrillar structures forming only when DNA was present.
Right.
And just to nail down the function, positive stain EM showed Ku-MTB had the capacity to circularize long DNA fragments, like 1440 base pairs, which is the ultimate proof of successful synapsis, holding the broken ends together.
Okay, let's get into the structural breakthrough, because this is the core differentiator from the human system. What is the molecular choreography of MTB survival?
So the most significant finding is that Ku-MTB forms an extended proteofilament immediately upon encountering a DNA break. The basic repeating unit is two Ku-MTB homodimers bound to a single DNA duplex. It's a chain of Ku proteins threading along the DNA.
And the structural contrast here is just profound. Human Ku, or Ku7080, is a heterodimer, two different subunits, and it acts more like a single cap on the DNA end.
Yes, it caps the end.
But MTB Ku is a homodimer to identical subunits, and instead of capping, it polymerizes into this continuous molecular bridge. Crucially, MTB-Ku lacks the VWA domains that are so essential for recruiting all those other proteins in the human system.
That filament structure is the synaptic bridge, and its geometry is perfect. Neighboring units within the filament precisely position the two broken DNA ends about 40 azo apart.
40 angstroms.
That specific distance is absolutely essential for synapsis. It forces the broken ends into close proximity, holding them stable for LHD to access and do the final repair.
And this filament formation seems almost indiscriminate. They observed it happening regardless of whether the DNA ends were blunt or had single-strand overhangs or were even hairpin DNA.
Exactly. Ku-MTB is ready to tackle any DSP end it encounters. It's incredibly flexible.
But something has to control this assembly.
Right. And the researchers identified specific residues, leucine 13 and valine 14, at the hydrophobic Ku-Ku protein interface. These two tiny residues are the essential molecular Velcro that holds the whole filament together.
So to prove that L13 and V14 were the functional hotspot, they mutated them into alanine. creating the L13 AV14A double mutant.
A classic experiment. And that double mutant could still bind DNA, which confirms it hadn't destroyed the overall protein structure.
Yeah.
But filament formation was completely abolished.
Gone.
Completely gone. And when they tested that specific change in the live M. smegmatis model, its survival rates under MMS exposure and desiccation just plummeted. Yeah. It was just as bad as the total deletion mutant.
So that's the smoking gun.
That's the smoking gun. The filament itself is functionally critical for MTB's resilience.
This leads us to the proposed model for regulation, which is just so elegant. How does MTB-Ku know when to form a filament and when to stay put?
Uses a self-deploying regulatory arm. It's C-terminal alpha helix.
Yep.
In the APO structure, so when Ku is just floating free without DNA, this helix is docked onto the core of the protein.
Mm-hmm.
Its position occludes or blocks that critical hydrophobic L13V14 interface. It's like a safety lock.
So when DNA binding happens, which means a break has occurred, the helix is displaced, the safety is off, and the L13V14 interface is instantly freed up to oligomerize and form the protective filament.
That's it, exactly. And that structural displacement is hypothesized to simultaneously expose the site needed to recruit LIGED, initiating the whole repair process. It's an incredibly efficient, self-regulated structural switch.
Let's dedicate some serious time to the comparison here, because this is where the therapeutic value is. If we compare MTB NHEJ synapsis versus human NHEJ synapsis, the difference isn't just in complexity, it's in capability.
It is a massive functional split.
Yeah.
MTB-Ku, because of this spontaneous filament-forming capacity, can bind and join broken DSBs all by itself. It can circularize DNA with over 80% efficiency in the test tube. It's a self-sufficient synaptic bridge.
But the human system is fundamentally different. Our QCBZ80 cannot do that alone. It needs the binding of that colossal enzyme, DNA PK-SUS, to form what are called DNA PK dimers for effective synapsis. That huge enzyme has to bridge the gap.
Correct. The ATB-Ku filament essentially performs the entire synaptic bridging function that the enormous multi-domain DNA PK-SUS enzyme provides in our much more complex system. Its efficiency through oligomerization versus massive machinery recruitment.
And this points to key evolutionary distinctions. The absence of those VWA domains in bacterial Ku means it avoids the need to recruit that large, energy-intensive suite of human accessory proteins like XLF and PayXX.
It doesn't need all the bells and whistles.
No.
Instead, MTB has evolved this highly regulated, minimalist repair machine where the simple movement of its short C-terminal helix is enough to recruit LIGED and coordinate the repair. It's an incredible economy of scale for the bacterium.
Allowing it to rapidly respond to stress without the huge resource allocation our cells require.
Yes, exactly.
So if we look at the therapeutic implication, the significant mechanistic differences between bacterial Ku self-synapsing, filament forming, and human Ku non-filament forming requires DNA PKCs. This creates an incredibly attractive target.
That's right. And the efficiency of that stripped-down system is precisely what makes it such a promising target. Specifically, that L13V14 hydrophobic interface is unique to the bacterial survival mechanism. It is the molecular weak spot.
So if we can design a small molecule, a drug, to interfere just with that L13V14 interface,
yes,
and inhibit this unique filament formation, we could cripple MTB's primary resilience pathway without touching human DNA repair, which relies on entirely different mechanisms.
This is truly a Goldilocks target.
Right.
We're not targeting a pathway that's necessary for its normal growth, but the critical pathway required for its survival under host attack and stress. The very mechanism MTB uses to achieve its formidable resilience becomes its precise vulnerability.
So to summarize the central insight we've uncovered, M. tuberculosis Ku protein enables the bacteria's formidable resilience by utilizing a unique DNA-triggered mechanism of polymerization. It acts as a self-assembling bridge.
The mechanism is both efficient and elegant. When a DNA break occurs, Kubo binds, it releases its regulatory C-terminal arm and instantly forms extended proteofilaments via that L13V14 hydrophobic interface.
And this holds the broken DNA ends 40 all apart.
The perfect synaptic distance, ready for LIGED to perform the final repair.
What does this fundamental structural insight into the bacterial repair machine mean for the next generation of drugs designed to specifically target MTB's unique structural vulnerabilities without affecting human DNA repair pathways? That remains the provocative thought for you to explore as you consider the future of TB treatment. This episode was based on an open access article under the CC BY 4.0 license. You can find a direct link to the paper and the license in our episode description. If you enjoyed this, follow or subscribe in your podcast app and leave a 5-star rating. If you'd like to support our work, use the donation link in the description. Now stay with us for an original track created especially for this episode and inspired by the article you've just heard about. Thanks for listening, and join us next time as we explore more science base by base.
Neon on glass, quiet in the room. A line goes dark too soon, too soon. Two-tone ends, can't find the scene. Static where the signal used to gleam. Hands on the clock, hearts on the run. We chase the damage till the damage is done. Step, feel the gap, close, find the map. Hold, don't let go. Till the broken learns to let close, hold, make the broken or lock the loose end. A silver frame, one touch box, the next the same. A hidden hinge, a helix gate, chooses when the buying can't wait. If the grip slips, the link can stay. The bridge disappears and the night takes way. Step, feel the gap, close, tighten the latch. Hold, stay in place till the fracture meets its fate. Make the loose hole, make the broken hole. Lock the loose end, step, close. Where the ruin meets, call the stitch, call the spark, call the calm. Bring the steady hands to do no harm. Let the low slide true, let the joint take light. Turn a cut into a line that's tight.